Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
Good evening, this is Love Sport Radio. It is time now on our Monday fan show special for the Derby County Fan Show. I'm Matt Beadle and I'm joined as ever by Simon Long from Rams Writer. If you want to join the debate, very easy to get in touch with us. 0208 7020 558. You can WhatsApp us on that number as well, or tweet us if you like, at Love Sport Radio. Simon, it's great to have you on the show. How are you doing?
Not too bad, thank you very much. Yourself?
Yeah, very well, thank you. Even better for the fact that Derby are now 5 games unbeaten. Another victory at the weekend over Luton. A helping hand, I suppose, somewhat by Simon Sluger for the opener. But after that I guess, I'm not going to call it a devastation, but the last-minute equaliser for Barnsley during the week, of course, a 2-2 draw at Oakwall. Getting that 2-0 win over Luton in the fashion that you did as well must have been quite satisfying.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, it's two home victories on the bounce now, so hopefully we're starting to work with something now, and fingers crossed we can. I think the international break's come at the wrong time for us. It would have been nice to play maybe another game just to see if we can pick up a bit more momentum, but that's international football for you, isn't it?
Yeah, I suppose in a sense that's a completely different debate altogether, but we will quickly touch on it because you've mentioned it. The international break for a fan, a regular fan like yourself, a Championship fan, you know, the Championship's a great league, we know that. The games do come thick and fast. The fact that the international break now is affecting the Championship, what's your view on it? Because obviously we want football week in, week out. It still is football to watch, but it tends to be the same every season, doesn't it? These early season international breaks come along and everyone goes, oh, for crying out loud, I can't be bothered to watch it.
It is. It's, you know, I mean, I think the first international break, what was that? Only about three, four weeks ago now, it seems. I think that came at the right time for Derby. Obviously, we'd lost against Forest and then we'd lost against Brentford, so it came at an ideal time. But this one, it's just come at the wrong time. And then there's another one in another 4 weeks or so. And then it's just, I guess it's needed, but it's just, I think it causes too much disruption, really. I mean, then after this one, you've not got anything then until March. So you have a big, nice, long stint from November to March.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And you're right, I suppose, in terms of that 5-game unbeaten run, you'd want to go in to that clash with Charlton. Of course, they had quite the game against Fulham at the weekend. But the games do come thick and fast. There is a little bit of a break, especially for players to get fit as well. Just talking about that game at Luton, I mean, one name that stands out in particular, it's the elephant in the room, we can't not mention him, is Tom Lawrence. Of course, he scored a goal. I suppose you could call it his goal. It was a cross, but it went in. But the first goal he scored, obviously, since the incident that everybody has been discussing for the past couple of weeks. How do you think he played? What was the reception like from the fans? And the celebration for me was probably the interesting thing because, well, he didn't celebrate, did he?
No, it was. To be honest, I think he did. He did all right. He just did the basics right. I think, you know, Well, if we rewind back to the Barnsley game, obviously when you're calling to the team, there's a lot of anger amongst the Derby fans about that. It's been called straight back into the team. But against Barnsley, he was, you know, he played a part in Chris Martin's goal. Then he won the penalty, and then again the same on Saturday. I think he did all right, you know, and he had a little bit more confidence. He was looking to try and take players on. He had a couple of shots where, especially one shot, definitely, he didn't put it that far past the post. And then to get his goal, I think for him, that might have been a bit of a big relief. And yeah, like you say, his celebration, it was weird because I cheered when he scored. I think there was a few that there was possible boos and things like that. But it's just one of them. It has torn the fan base apart, this whole incident. And the thing is, but my point of view is, how long do you hold this grudge against him? Yes, he's done wrong. You know, he's made a really bad, you know, error of judgment. But at the end of the day, he's a human being, and we're all, you know, nobody's perfect at the end of the day, in my eyes. So, you know, for me, for him to come back in the team, this is the only way he can repay the fans back. And by scoring a goal like he did, that's just the first step. But what he's got to keep doing now is keep playing and just try and build his confidence back up. You know, and the fans, if he starts putting in decent performances like he did against Huddersfield on the first game of the season, the fans will get the respect back for him because he's paying them back. He's, you know, that is the way that he can apologise to the fans.
I think you're bang on there. And in terms of the morality around it, we do the AFC Wimbledon fan show on this very station, and they were discussing Wally Downes just yesterday and the fact that if he was to come back and be the manager, of course, he's been charged with breaching betting rules by the Football Association. And it's difficult, isn't it? Because some fans are like, well, it doesn't matter, let's get him back in. Other fans are like, well, hang on a second, he's broken the law, and we don't know what alleged to have broken the law. We don't know whether it's right to have him back in. You say there's been a divide amongst fans. So is that the case at Derby, that on moral grounds as well? Because I know that Ryan Giggs has come out and said it was the toughest decision he's arguably had to make in football, was naming Tom Lawrence in the latest Wales squad. There is a moral issue around it. So in terms of dividing the fans, is that causing a rift within the stadium, within the atmosphere?
There was a big rift, I think, more on Wednesday night against Barnsley than there was. And there was little bits of booing and things like that, and discussions between fans about it. But like I've just said, it's one of them. You know, obviously Tom's got the support of his players. You know, when the celebration, I think Jane Bogle and Graham Shinney were trying to gear up the crowd to get behind him. So it shows that, you know, they know what he's done is wrong. He knows what he's done is wrong, you know, and they're backing him. They're behind him. Again, the same with Cocu. Philip Cocu, the manager, he's behind him, and he wants him to, you know, pay back what he's done to the fans. Obviously, the club came out with a statement to say the punishment that they've given him, and they're not going to make any further comment on the matter. And at the end of the day, they've done what they've seen fit, you know, to obviously punish, you know, Tom. So I don't get why some of the fans are still punishing him. Yes, what he did was wrong. We can say this. We can say it till we're blue in the face. He was wrong what he did. But it doesn't stop him being a human being, a footballer. That's his job at the end of the day. And yeah, I think they got fined for like 6 weeks' wages. I know if I got fined 6 weeks' wages from my company, from my job, I'd be struggling. And regardless of how much money footballers earn, they still live. They've still got to live. So 6 weeks' wages will be massive to Tom to lose out on that, to be fined that. So, yeah, morally, yeah, you know, it's one of them. It's a bad crime to do, you know, that he's been obviously alleged to have done. But again, like I say, this is his career and this is his job. You know, there's a lot of people saying, "Oh, if I drunk drive, I'd lose my job." But it depends what your job is. At the end of the day, I've worked with people that have been, you know, done for drink driving, etc., things like that, and they've still got jobs. So it's a tricky one, to say the least. It's a very tricky situation. But I think, you know, when I first saw the team sheet against Barnes and that he was in the squad and starting, I was a bit, why has he done this? But then the reasoning behind it, obviously, he dropped Florian Jozefzyn. Again, he's another player that, you know, fans seem to criticise and, you know, don't get what he brings. For me, Tom Lawrence is a better player than Jozefzyn. So in that situation, yeah, that's an ideal switch because it's better for the team. So, and again, he was involved in both goals in one way or another. So he was right. And again, at the weekend, scored. So he's getting involved. He's getting in the right positions on the pitch.
Yeah, absolutely, mate. And when you say, how long is this going to go on for? You're right. At some point, regardless of what they've done, at some point you have to decide as a club, either you sell them and you get rid of them, or you get on with it and then you draw a line under it. Because this is the second week now that we're talking about this. And that's right. You know, it needs to be addressed. Absolutely, it needs to be addressed. But at some point, it will be that the club need to draw a line under it. Like you said, they have done. And Philippe Cocu was asked, wasn't he, after the Barnsley game. And he said, look, they're not off the hook. But at some point, you know, we're going to have to move on. The fact that Tom Lawrence scored was almost, in terms of football-related activity, the best thing that he could have done, just to get his head down, get the goals, perform for Derby. Because what Philip Cocu also has to do is the best thing in terms of Derby's football interests. He needs to put the best team out there on a Saturday or a Sunday or whenever it is that the club are playing to win football matches. And that is what's key moving forward. I know the club have come out and they've released their statement. They said, we're not going to tolerate this from any of our players or any of our staff. They fined them the maximum amount of the 6 weeks' wages. They've done everything in their powers that they can do. Whether there's another scheme after this they can now do to get the players working within the community or educating people about drink driving is something that perhaps they might do. I don't know whether those measures are already in place. But the fact that Mason Bennett has come out and said, you know, he's let everybody down, what he did was wrong. Tom Lawrence has also come out and said he's going to make every effort to make amends by working diligently to give something back to our local community. They've come out, they've done what they need to do. They now basically have to get their heads down. And like you said, there is a point at which we do have to draw this line. And Mason Bennett as well, another player we mentioned, of course, he turned out for the club as a teenager, has been with the club for many, many years. He actually scored tonight for the under-23s against Wolves.
He did, yeah. It was a cracking goal, to be honest. Mm. You know, I watched that game tonight and it was to be honest, you know, Mason looked, he looked, you know, the under-23 level, he's definitely outgrown that now. You know, for me, I thought he was the best player on the pitch. You know, he was involved in everything going forward, attacking-wise, trying to create chances, getting chances himself. And obviously, he scored, you know. So, again, he's another one, you know, he's still young, he's still only 23, you know, and let's not, you know, people are acting like these are the first footballers to be done for this sort of thing, and there's not, you know, you look at players like Lloris and Firmino and Rooney, for one, they've all been done with the same thing, but it's all been forgotten about. So, you know, I don't know how long it took, obviously I'm not a Liverpool fan or a Tottenham fan. You know, so I don't really know how long it took their fans to get over him, etc. But you know, they're not the first players to do it, and they probably won't be the last neither, which is a sad thing, really. But mistakes have happened. You know, we've got to stop as a fan base crucifying our own players because of one idiotic mistake. And you know, like they've both come out and apologised now, and I think the statements, the apologies that they came out with, a lot of people went, right, okay, at last, they've admitted, they've said, sorry, right, we can get past it. But there is still some, you know, rightly or wrongly, that are still holding that grudge.
Yeah, absolutely. That is the voice of Simon Long from Rams Writer. This is the Derby County Fan Show on Love Sport. Plenty more coming up.
Love Sport.
Yeah, this is Love Sport, the Derby County Fan Show on Love Sport. Me, Matt Beadle, here with Simon Long from Rams Writer. We're going to reflect a little bit more on that victory over Luton at the weekend. And one man in particular, Graham Shinney. He made his championship debut for the club in that win over the Hatters and has caused quite the stir. Of course, he signed for Derby around 5 months ago or so it was now. It was a free transfer at the time. Frank Lampard was in charge. Of course, he wasn't a Philippe Cocu signing. He's played in the Carabao Cup this season, but finally got that first championship start. And Simon, he was pretty decent.
Oh, he's not bad, was he? No. Well, I mean, a lot of the fans have been asking for him, what's he got to do? I don't know whether that was because they just wanted to see what he had to offer. Could it be something different? Or whether they actually, you know, had seen enough of him, like in Scotland or things like that, that said, yeah, okay, he's definitely going to bring something. Because me personally, I've not seen enough of him, to be honest, at all. I'm not, you know, there's not, you know, a lot of people look at YouTube videos, etc., and highlights of players, but there's not a great deal of Graham Shinney. Mm. So for him to come and step in and put the performance in that he did. Wow, that is something that Derby's midfield has been missing. It made me question, why has he not been playing before? But, again, back in August, Philip Cocker addressed the media about it and said, there's, you know, he has got his qualities along with the other players, but there's a few technical things he needs to work on. Clearly, he's done that. He's been knocking at the manager's door and he's got his opportunity and he's taken it with both hands, quite literally. And he was a typical box-to-box midfielder. If he wasn't defending in his own half, he was attacking in the other half. And, you know, he put on an absolute stalwart performance. And, you know, if he can continue like that, he'll definitely worm his way into the hearts of the Derby County fans, because we love a player that works. He was obviously brought in to replace Craig Bryson. And from what we saw of him, he was like having a prime Craig Bryson back.
Yeah, absolutely. And
sensational.
You look at the situation, obviously Tom Huddleston, George Evans, both out injured. I know Christian Bielik was back in midfield at the weekend. Dwayne Holmes will probably be fully fit after the international break, you'd imagine. And let's just hope, I guess, that Shinny keeps his place. And I know that Philippe Cocu has come out in the past and said that, you know, he's got to work with me because it's a new system, it's a new setup. You know, I know that he's a good player, but I need to wait and see exactly what he can bring. And the fact that I think his attitude has remained the same, Shinny, because he played a few games for the under-23s. And I think when you've come from being a captain of Aberdeen, yes, the Scottish Premier League is very different to English football, regardless of that argument. Again, an argument for another day. But to be dropped down into the under-23s and come in and make your debut in that fashion just shows as well he's got the mindset to produce.
Oh, definitely. You know, he could have sat there and sulked and gone, what have I done? Oh, and gone, you know, well, I'm here for a few years now, I might as well get paid and just sit here. But he hasn't. He's been knocking at the door wanting to play, which is great. You know, it's fantastic that he's got that attitude. And it just shows he's obviously a captain and a leader, you know, because some captains can talk a lot of game, but others can show and, you know, get the players with him. And the way he played, for me, if I've got someone like that on the pitch, I'm wanting to follow the way he's going because, you know, he led with his actions. You know, he didn't need a captain's armband to be a captain because he played like a leader in that midfield and he helped boss it. And it's bizarre. Like you mentioned obviously about Huddleston and things like that because we might be sort of finding an 11. We've not really had a settled 11 this season due to injuries. And, you know, with, you know, Keir being unfortunately being out for the rest of the season and longer, that's meant Curtis Davies has had to come in, you know, and he's been brilliant since he's come back into the squad. You know, I doubted him at first. I think I said in the show that I doubted him, but I was wrong, and it's great to see that I was wrong. And again, Huddleston now, maybe if he didn't get injured, Shinny wouldn't have had the chance. And again, he's someone that's come in and done a great job. It's the same with Chris Martin. He got given a chance, and he's come in and he's taken it. So, you know, by accident, Cocu might have fallen across a decent 11. Just totally by accident, which is bizarre, really. But you'll
take it if it does work. And it's interesting you raise that point because of the tinkering, I suppose you could say, not to label him as a new Claudio Ranieri, but he has had to chop and change his side this season, and that has been down to injuries, but maybe also the fact that he's trying to find out his best 11. I don't think he's named an unchanged team this season. Derby have beaten Luton this weekend. Do you think, I mean, we've got 2 weeks, a lot can happen, of course, players can return to fitness. Jack Marriott is another player who we might get onto who apparently has a big groin strain, according to Philippe Cocu. But would you want to see an unchanged team? Because if you're winning games and you've got that winning formula, unbeaten in five now, I know he keeps changing the team, but having an unchanged team just sometimes brings that sense of a sureness, doesn't it, to the side?
Yeah, it does. And I mean, if you look back to last season, Lampard was the same. He was one for changing the team every game, you know, or every couple of games. You know, if the player didn't perform, they were out for the next game. Whereas, obviously, Cocu's had it as he's not been able to. He's had to change the team due to injuries. But it would be nice to see a settled 11. And, you know, again, I think we saw a settled 11 at the back end of last season. We saw what it could do with the results we got. So if we can keep a settled 11 now, coming off the back of this international break with no injuries and things like that, and then hopefully we can pick up where we left off, and you know, and then really start pushing our season forward because we're not far off. You know, we're 6 points away from the playoff spots. So regardless of being 13th in the table, it's 6 points, it's nothing. And I just think we need that consistency. And he's not going to get that unless he gets a starting 11 that has got time then to click and move forward and go on and again, challenge for this league.
Yeah, you're bang on again, Simon. And listen, we know how things can change so quickly in the Championship. You're in 13th place at the moment. But like you said, just 6 points off the playoffs. A couple of the wins can change things drastically. Only 2 defeats this season as well. I think that's quite telling. But just to finish, we have got the international break, but then we're looking ahead away to Charlton, at home to Wigan, away to Derby. At home to Wigan. Away to Hull, and then you host Middlesbrough. So fixtures, you probably, you know, you can see a couple of wins from those.
Oh, definitely. You know, but again, it's a Championship, isn't it? I mean, Charlton, you don't know which Charlton's going to show up, you know, so it could be, you know, it could be the good, you know, the Charlton that showed up against Fulham, or it could be one that doesn't show up. So again, it's going to be a tough game against Charlton. And then Wigan, I expect us to get 3 points. And then the tough game then is going to be Hull, because again they're another side who, in fairness, we've had some good games away at Hull, so I'll be looking forward to that one definitely, because we've had some good visits to the KCON, so
lovely stuff.
Hopefully we can get 9 points. That's the dream, isn't it?
Let's hope so. Simon Long from Ramsbottom, thank you for joining us. Derby County Fan Show on Love Sport. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.